You're listening to Talk the Rock, and today we have a couple of different things scheduled for this half hour. First, we have a focus on the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit. Julie Matwiyu is here, and also we have Sunny Rice on the phone. And Sunny, can you hear us?
Yeah, hello.
All right, Sunny Rice is on air. So thanks for joining us, Sunny. And after the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit, we'll talk with Jared Griffin, who is here, and he's doing a couple of lectures on race. So very different, but both interesting. So Julie, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself first?
Yeah, well, hi, Kayla, and hi, Kodiak. This is Julie Matwiyu. I'm with the Alaska Sea Grant Marine Advisory Program. I'm a general agent here in Kodiak, and many of folks may know me through marine safety training and some of the opportunities that Alaska Sea Grant offers here locally. I'm here with Sunny Rice today. Sunny's our Marine Advisory Program agent in Petersburg, and we're here to talk about the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit.
All right. To start from the beginning, Sunny, I know you've been with this summit since the beginning, so why don't you kind of give a rundown on what this is for?
Sure. The Alaska Young Fishermen Summit, the first one started in 2007, and the idea was to provide both a networking opportunity for new and, I guess, young fishermen to chance to just get to know each other and collaborate on whatever projects they might want to work on, as well as provide some, you know, basic education about the shore side aspects of running a commercial fishing operation. So finances, markets, the regulatory process, and the like.
So what is the purpose of having a event like this geared towards young members of the fisheries?
Well, I guess there are many. One is, I think that it's an amazing business, but it's a challenging business as well, and we want to provide support for that, and particularly, like I said, within the financial sides or the getting involved in the regulatory process. But I think maybe an additional purpose is to help those that are going to be running this industry for years into the future to have a voice in what that future is going to look like.
And how does this connect to what's been called the graying of the fleet?
I think in a real general sense that if the industry is going to continue, we need to have new people getting in and being successful. And so we want to do what we can to support that.
And so what did the first few summits look like, and how has the summit developed since then?
They haven't actually changed too much. They were originally just with 2 days, and now we've added on a third day the past couple times. In the beginning, they were just in Anchorage, but we've also moved down to Juneau to help expose folks to the legislative process and make things easier for Southeast fishermen to get to. But in general, they've all covered the financial aspects of running an operation. We try to give an understanding of how Alaska commercial fisheries fit into the global market for seafood. We've always done work on helping you understand how the Board of Fisheries process and the North Pacific Fishery Management Council process works, and then a bit about the science of fisheries management, so why these management decisions might be coming down the pike. So that's pretty much stayed the same, and networking has always been a priority, and we've also always had tried to get as many established fishermen as we could as our speakers. So we ourselves don't do too much of the teaching. A lot of it comes from other people who've been at it for a long time and have been in the business for a while.
Has attendance changed at all since it first began?
Nope, it's actually pretty steady, right around between 60 and 70. I'm looking back at the numbers from all of the past six, so that's been pretty much the same, and that's a good number for us. We don't want to be too much bigger than that because we do quite a bit of hands-on work, small group work, and so it can get a little bit unruly if you get too many more than that.
What would you consider the bulk of the time is spent on? Is it mostly split up, or is there one particular area that takes the most teaching or requires the most patience?
So Sunny.
Can I grab that one, Julie?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, the two things I'd say that we end up spending the most time on are the financial aspects and the regulatory process. We've tried to teach those in ways other than having people stand up there and lecture all day. And so when you do it that way, it takes a little bit more time, but I think people get more out of it.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. I mean, just coming from a non-fisheries background and coming into Alaska and trying to understand regulation and how everything is managed, that can be really dense. And, like, even after sitting through a lot of meetings, I'm still learning new things. So what would you tell young fishermen or anyone who's interested in fisheries, what would you tell them? What's the best route to become more familiar with management?
Want to take that, Julie?
Sure, I'll take a stab at it. But each fishery is very different. Sea Grant Marine Advisory Program is spread across the state, and AYFS is a statewide conference and a networking session. So it kind of looks different for each gear type or each participant, and that's why we try to cover these different modes of participation, either through the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, if your fishery is governed by that body, or through the Board of Fish, if your fishery is a state fishery governed by Board of Fish. So I think those are probably the two main areas of focus, and of course the IPHC, the International Pacific Halibut Committee or Council, and just engagement in general is very important, whether it be on a local or a statewide level. Engagement is very important. And one thing, I've been involved with the Young Fishermen Summit since 2012 when I started on with Alaska Sea Grant. And Sunny and Tori Baker in Cordova, they've done an excellent job in really expanding this summit to be inclusive and to be inclusive of all fishermen. And they teach general public speaking skills and work with our participants to be comfortable and practice getting up and relaying their message. So I think no matter what level of engagement you're at, it's important to be engaged.
So how did you get involved in helping in the organization side?
Well, I was lucky enough to be part of Alaska Sea Grant in our kind of fisheries related issues. As a general agent, we all do a little bit different things within our program, but as a program, we work on a statewide level with different commercial fishing related issues. So I started in with Sea Grant in 2011 and was invited into this organization or into this committee. And we have some other resources online. We have the Fish Biz program and a lot of other business training opportunities. And it's a natural fit. I work with the commercial fishing industry here in Kodiak, and I've been happy to be participating in the summit organization. So each year we kind of have a group of us, a team, tackle the agenda and put together this, really dynamic agenda. This year, I just wanted to put out there that this event is happening December 6th through the 8th in Anchorage this year, and we'll be tapping into the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council process there.
And after this next summit, when will the next one be scheduled?
Sunny, that's a Sunny question.
That would likely be, so we've been doing them every other year, but we've been alternating between Juneau and Anchorage. And so it will be 2 years from now, but we will probably do it a little bit. Let's see if this is 2000. It'll probably be 2020 technically, but just barely in 2020 and probably in Juneau. So we want to do it in February when the legislative session is in process. And we did our first one in Anchorage in January, and it was in response to things that we had heard from Kodiak saying January is not a good time for us, but we really want to participate. And so we did one immediately the very next December, so actually in the same year of 2007, so that we could accommodate the Kodiak commercial fishing schedules.
So what's on the schedule for this coming summit?
Well, we have each year we choose a keynote speaker, and usually that's somebody with extensive experience commercial fishing, but also taking that a step further, maybe whether it's doing something really interesting with the markets. Generally, it's been people that have been very involved in the regulatory process. So this year it's Fritz Johnson, who's a member of the Alaska Board of Fisheries, and he's from Bristol Bay and has been involved with the Bristol Bay Economic Development Council there, as well as many other things. And so he'll give a keynote address. And then Kodiak's own Quentin Fong is leading a session that's about understanding Alaska's role in the world markets and the importance of quality. And then Julie in the past and I have both worked on a session on the business of fishing. So we've got a CPA who's also a commercial fisherman who helps us, as well as some bankers, insurance folks, really introduce you to the financial side. Then in the last few summits, we've been able to bring back alumni because we've been doing this for 10 years now. We've brought back alumni who've graduated, graduated from the Young Fisherman Summit in the past, and we'll bring them back and have them give tell us what they've been up to and the lessons that they've learned. And then the next morning is Julie's session, and I'll let Julie say what that was.
Yeah, thanks, Sunny. The Thursday morning starts off with the science and management of Alaska fisheries, and we have Gordon Cruz participating. He's UAF College of Fisheries and Ocean Science. He's a professor and scientist with our school, and he'll be giving an overview of science and a little bit of a history of our fisheries. And then we're going to have a second panelist, Gunnar Knapp. He was former ICER. Gunnar's retired, but he has a tremendous amount of experience in fisheries management and economy. And we'll be doing one of his activities looking at fisheries management issues and how to allocate fish and how that looks with these scientific concerns that play into managing our fisheries. So it's turning out to be going to be a neat session there with Gunnar and Gordon. And then we're rolling into the public speaking. And we have Dave Kubiak. He's a local fisherman here in Kodiak, and he's participated in the summits in the past. And he's again coming up to Anchorage to join us. And he's a dynamic and really awesome speaker, and he's going to be coming up and talking to our attendees about why and how a young fisherman should get involved. And that will roll the group into the public speaking training session that Tori and Sunny will lead. That moves us into the Mock Board of Fish afternoon session, and followed up with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council field trip.
What kind of things do you cover in public speaking, Sunny?
Our goal with that session is to just get people to talk, to practice talking into a microphone in front of a group of their peers, which can be overwhelming for some people. And so we start fairly simple, and we have them talk about something that they will know about, a piece of fishing gear or safety gear and why it's good or why it's not good. And we teach them just the basic structure of when you're doing something like giving testimony, introduce yourself and why you should be listened to, what your background is and your experience. I've been fishing for X number of years here and here and here. And then, you know, make their main point and maybe make some subpoints and then reiterate their point and then end with a specific request. Please vote yes on this. Please vote no on this. And we try to get as many of them talking in front of each other as possible. It's a fun session.
Can you speak a little bit more to the importance of fishermen and people in fisheries being involved in regulation and actively involved in giving input on management?
Well, I think that's part of the reason for the whole thing, that the future of your fishery is being decided in these forums. And so if you want to have a say in the future of what your fishery is going to look like, you need to participate in these forums, and we want to make it, we want to help you do that as much as possible. Our forums have a lot of you know, they travel around to different locations. They have a lot of ways that people can get involved. And so taking advantage of it is the best way to ensure your financial future of your business, as well as, you know, the general health of your fishery.
And you mentioned earlier that you'll be having some, quote unquote, graduates of the summit come back and speak. What have you observed as far as the biggest takeaways by people who were around during the first few summits?
We just recently completed sort of a evaluation going back to everybody who's gone so far, particularly people have learned a lot from the financial management section, made them think about things that they hadn't otherwise considered. And then we've seen many, many of them. We asked them, you know, have you gone to a board meeting? Have you gone to an AC meeting? Have you testified? Have you joined a fisheries organization? Have you talked to your fisheries manager? These are things that we encourage, that we always encourage them to do. And we see I see a good response there. Almost everybody has done at least one of those things since they went to the Exerman Summit. So it's great to see their participation. And then we'll see a news story or hear a news story about, you know, hearing that one of our past participants testified at the council meeting in Sitka. And, you know, we always have little cheers inside when we see that, you know, you've done our job when that happens, I think.
Do you guys provide any supplemental publications or anything like that?
Well, there's always a resource table outside of the summit, in addition to all the resources that we provide during the actual 3-day event. We have handouts and information, and depending on the agenda and the schedule, there will definitely be informational pieces handed out. And in addition, there'll be outside sources of information put out on the table for people to grab. So there's a whole bunch of information coming to this summit and available to our participants.
And so go ahead, Sunny.
I'll just add the FishBiz website that Julie mentioned. You could probably just Google Alaska FishBiz. And that's where we've tried to give a bit of the stuff that we cover, and even more actually in the financial sections on that webpage.
All right. And so it is December 6th through 8th at the Dena'ina Center in Anchorage?
It's being held in Anchorage, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And registration is open now. And locally, I'll be reaching out and contacting potential interested parties. And we have a whole bunch of young fishermen right here in Kodiak, and hope to see them join the summit this year. We've had quite a few attendees coming from Kodiak already, but this is another opportunity for them. So I'll be making some arrangements and meetings with folks as we move through November.
Is there what's the registration price?
Sunny, it's $125.
$125.
Okay. I think those are all the questions I have on the summit, but can I ask you about PSP?
Sure.
All right. Sunny, do you have anything to add about PSP, or can we let you go?
Nope. Julie is the expert on PSP. I defer to her.
All right. Well,
so
thank you
for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Sunny.
Thanks, Sunny.
All right, yeah. Well, we haven't talked about PSP for a while, and like
no.
Every few months, I just have to have you on, and we chat about PSP. So, what's the update for paralytic shellfish poisoning, which there is a very high rate of in our local shellfish?
Right. Update is that we remain above regulatory level. The toxin level is pretty consistently above regulatory level at all times in butter clams, and that's one of our popular subsistence species. My research right now is ongoing, but I don't get responsive results by the nature of my shipping and archiving the samples. However, there is one local group, the Chinook tribe, who is sending shellfish off to CTOR in Sitka and getting back monthly results in a timely fashion. But we remain above regulatory level, like always. There's not a lot of monitoring. I have 3 sites right now, and just kind of trying to build that comprehensive picture. Our big scary time is in the summer or early spring, when the phytoplankton start to grow in abundance, phytoplankton that causes PSP. And but during the winter months, we still have kind of a hold pattern. So I always have the same message, really. Until we have a tool in our hand that we can test each collection of shellfish, the message is basically harvest at your own risk. So unfortunately, there's not a good message yet as far as, you know, being able to freely harvest in this region.
And I think one of the things that has always puzzled me is that people still do harvest and they don't always get sick. So people will say like, oh, I understand that there is a risk, but like maybe I just don't get sick from PSP.
Yeah, it's probably more of the spatial and temporal nature of the toxins. The toxins are highly variable. They can occur in different abundance over seasonally and spatially. So we see some, you know, very distinct differences between beaches, even across, you know, half a mile distance. So I think it's more of a matter that you just didn't pick up a shellfish that's toxic, because it really can be that variable. And each species of shellfish handles the toxins differently. So, So we have this low level or above regulatory, but relatively low level of toxins that I think people manage to collect and get away with it. But my concern is when we really have a really high level of toxins that can hit hard here.
Right. Well, PSP continues to be just the same issue that Kodiak has had for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And I know we have like less than 10 minutes, so we should probably turn to Jared, who's giving a talk very soon. And Jared, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, yes, my name is Jared Griffin, and I'm Associate Professor of English at Kodiak College. And over the next two Tuesdays, I'll be doing a community education class on the history of race.
All right, it's such a big topic that I don't even know how to begin.
Right.
So how will you begin the lecture?
I begin 500,000 years ago with Lucy in Africa, and you got to talk about migration patterns and then how groups of Homo sapiens developed and isolated themselves and developed different physical characteristics, and then we kind of, you know. There are some, different glacial things that happened right at the tail end of the Ice Age that moved people around. And so to where we kind of are today. And then we kind of fast forward a little bit to ancient Greece and ancient Rome, who were the first people to really start to write, who actually have like a written record of how they are observing physical differences, political differences, moral differences between people. Though the ancient Greeks and Romans, they didn't call it race. Race was a term invented in the 17th century to help us be racists, but, you know, but as a way of organizing, right, how people are different.
So are you just covering all of history in the first lecture, or
we're gonna see how it goes. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight. I have us going for about 2 hours, and we'll see how far we get. My goal is tonight's class will take us from, you know, early human migration patterns up to hopefully the Enlightenment, to where the term Caucasian was invented to indicate a racial group. And then next week to really focus on the English and American use of the term and concept of race, the more, I guess, what we call hard scientific justifications for racial categories and how that influenced America specifically. That's my particular focus. My concentration has been on the role of race, particularly the role of whiteness in America. And so next week's will focus mostly on America and race in America.
And so you said something before we started the show, and I'm Jewish, so I'm going to bring this up. You said there was a point where Jewish people started being considered white, or like the concept of being white.
Right. Well, the concept of being white has been in flux. It was the whole white-black categorization dichotomy was invented about 300 years ago. And so It was always easy for white people to say that there's an ethnic person, there's an other person, but it was a little bit more difficult for the white people and the different gradations of whiteness that came along. So it's, I mean, you know, Irish, Spanish, you know, Eastern Europeans, and you know, the Jewish people, you know, also weren't always part of the white category. Even Irish weren't part of the white category until probably after World War I. Even with Jews were considered, you know, a separate race for a little from pretty much the Spanish Inquisition till about World War II. And then it was World War II that we see Jewish people accepted, that's a weird word to say, but, you know, welcomed into the white family, you know.
It's so interesting thinking about race as a social construct of, like, exactly what do we consider white at any one point.
Exactly. It changes. I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's very interesting, and I'm happy to see this happening in our community, and I'm going to be attending your sessions, Jared,
excellent,
and the next Tuesdays. I think it's really important in our community to make sure that we are inclusive, and we have such a diverse community, especially in Kodiak and even in Alaska. And it's important that we hear the voices of all of our residents.
So, you've been listening to Talk of the Rock, and we have been talking about the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit, which is coming up on December 6th through 8th in Anchorage. And then also you can attend this race lecture, which is when again?
The next two Tuesdays that we start tonight is class number one, starting at 7 o'clock at Kodiak College, and then next Tuesday also at 7 o'clock.
Right, and you can also listen to this again if you just can't get enough on KMXT. We're going to archive it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.